Come on.
Prince Louis stood outside his brother Dominic's door, waiting impatiently for a reply, and tugged surreptitiously at the chainmail vest hidden under his jerkin. His guards had sealed off the corridor at both ends, but he still felt uneasy. Ironheart stood motionless in the middle of the corridor, his armor gleaming dully in the torchlight. If anyone did get past the guards, they'd still have to face him. And there was always the monk. He stood silently at Louis's side, a gray, baleful presence that was still somehow comforting. If you had to enter the lion's den, the best protection was to take something with you that was even more dangerous than the lion. Louis shuffled his feet restlessly and wondered whether to knock again in case they hadn't heard him. Though he wouldn't admit it to anyone, Louis was dying to see what Dominic's new quarters were like. No one except Dominic's own people were ever allowed inside, and none of them would talk about it. They couldn't. Dominic had put a gias on them. Louis stepped forward into the antechamber, carefully keeping both his face and his posture very calm and assured. In dealing with Dominic, it was important to appear confident at all times. He looked around to see who had opened the door for him, but there was no one there. The monk followed right behind him. Louis looked casually about him and frowned. Dominic's antechamber was bare and austere. The only furniture, three straight-backed chairs set out on the bare stone floor. The bleak whitewashed walls were spotlessly clean and subtly depressing. This wasn't a room where people lived. It was just a room where people waited, while Dominic decided whether or not to see them. Louis moved over to the nearest chair, flicked imaginary dust off the seat with his handkerchief, and sat down. The monk took up a watchful stance beside him. Louis looked around sharply as Dominic and Elizabeth came in through a door he would have sworn wasn't there a moment ago. They stood alone by the door, and Louis stiffened slightly as he realized that Dominic hadn't brought any troops to guard him. Either he didn't see his brother as much of a threat, or he was confident in his own sorcery to protect him. Dominic bowed briefly to Louis, and he nodded curtly in return. He didn't get up from his chair, but they didn't seem to notice. They each walked to an empty chair.
Well, this is very pleasant, isn't it? Must be all of 4 years since you and I last sat down to talk together, Dominic.
That's right. Dear Victor had just been banished from court, and you and I were discussing how best to turn that to our advantage. You proposed a partnership, as I recall, but nothing came of it. We didn't trust each other. We knew each other too well, perhaps. Do you feel things have changed since then, Louis?
Probably not. But we do have things to discuss. The Regent has just made a difficult situation suddenly even more difficult with the right of transference. Interfering bastard. I should have had him killed a long time ago. He's always been too honest for our good. We've got to find the crown and seal quickly, Dominic. Since I don't have them, and my spies assure me that you don't have them, it seems to me the odds are very much in favor of Victor having them. There must be some good reason why he hasn't used them yet, but now that the situation has changed so drastically, he could try for the stone at any time. We'll have to take the crown and seal from him, and neither of us is strong enough to do that on our own. De Grange's guards are all over the place, and Victor's fire magic is as strong as ever. You saw what he did at court.
Yes, it was most impressive. But what makes you so sure Victor has the crown and seal?
Process of elimination. Outside of the three of us, who is there? A few nobodies who fancy themselves as kings or kingmakers. My spies have kept a close watch on all of them. On the other hand, something is definitely happening with Victor and his people. I haven't been able to find out what. They're too well shielded. But whatever it is, it's important. So important, they've killed all of my people who even looked as though they might be getting near the truth.
You're quite right. There is something going on. But they don't have the crown or the seal. They're as baffled as we are.
Louis looked at her thoughtfully. She was smiling too much, the cold, calculating smile of someone who knows something you don't. On the other hand, that wasn't exactly unusual where Elizabeth was concerned.
Just how sure are you of your information? Last I heard, your people had been having the same problems as mine. Or have you and Victor been getting acquainted again now that he's back?
Hardly. No, my dear Louis, it's much simpler than that. We have a spy in their inner circle, a traitor. Would you like to meet him?
Louis fought to keep his face calm and undisturbed. If Dominic really did have a traitor in Victor's camp, he had an advantage Lewis couldn't hope to match. How the hell had Dominic managed it? Lewis had tried everything from outrageous bribes to open death threats without any effect at all. He would have sworn that all of Victor's people were under Aegeus. They were so sickeningly loyal. Either that, or they didn't know anything good enough to be worth selling. He realized Dominic and Elizabeth were still looking at him inquiringly. Did he want to see the traitor? Well, they knew damn well he couldn't afford to say no.
Yes. Show me your traitor.
Of course. He's waiting in my quarters. I thought you might like to take a look at my private chambers while you're here. I designed them myself, and I'm rather proud of the way they've come out. This way.
Lewis was on guard. There had to be a catch in this somewhere. They were just baiting him for the fun of it. If the traitor's identity had any real value, they'd never have mentioned his existence, let alone offer a chance to meet him. Dominic turned to the inner door and waved a hand. He offered Elizabeth his arm, and the two of them walked unhurriedly through the doorway. Lewis jerked his head at the monk and hurried after them, barely able to contain his curiosity. The monk followed him. Lewis wished for a moment that the monk would make some noise when he moved, or at least show a foot. The sorcerer just slid along the floor, his long robe flapping slightly as he moved. Dominic and Elizabeth stood to one side as Lewis and the monk entered the main room, and Lewis couldn't help it.
Oh, damn!
He was staggered by what he saw. All of the intervening walls in Dominic's suite had been removed, turning it into one gigantic chamber. Lewis hated to think how many spells Dominic must be maintaining just to keep the ceiling from collapsing. The outer walls had been painted varying shades of blue and green that shifted subtly as he watched, suggesting the endless tides and swells of the ocean. The air was pleasantly moist, but the carpeted floor showed no signs of damp or rot. The scattered rugs and hangings were a depressingly bitter shade of green. Lewis supposed they were meant to represent seaweed. They were ugly enough. The delicate filigreed furniture seemed out of place in the grotesque setting. Lewis walked slowly forward, drawing strength from the silent figure of the monk at his side. The listening wall to his left swirled and heaved constantly, and Lewis suddenly realized he was looking at a vast expanse of water. He thought at first it must be contained behind a wall of strengthened glass, but when he moved over and reached out a hesitant hand to touch it, his finger slid unimpeded into the icy water. There was no wall. Only Dominic's sorcery held the water in place.
This? Is that?
Lewis stared deep into the water and saw something move within. He watched, open-mouthed, as a huge shark, easily 30 feet long, came surging out of the distance toward him, growing larger and larger as he watched. He snatched his hand out of the water and fell back a step. For one horrible moment, he thought the shark was going to burst out of the water after him, but at the last second, it turned aside and swam along the length of the wall. Lewis's belly tightened as the shark's flat black eye rolled slowly in its smooth gray head, watching him. It knew he was there. Its teeth were a ragged row in a mouth that had never known a smile, and in its cold, dead eye, there was all the hunger in the world. The shark flicked its tail suddenly and was gone, gliding back into the immeasurable depths beyond the wall of water. How far back does the water go? Thought Lewis dazedly. What the hell has Dominic done here?
One of my pets.